Radio broadcasting from Hagland's Village on Romney Marsh 24 hours a day. Channel Radio.
Yes, it's another Monday afternoon on Who Cares Wins with me, Angela Bryce Stevenson, and the delectable, the wonderful, great mate, Jan Mulligan.
Good afternoon, everybody.
And we are in the studio with not one but two guests. We are so lucky. Yoo-hoo! We are joined by some very serious guests here this afternoon, folks. We have in the left corner, in the blue corner, we have Jennifer Headley. Hello, Jennifer Headley.
Hello, Angela.
I'm going to tell you who she is in a moment. And next to Jennifer in the purple corner, the drum roll. She's dancing away already. Yay! It is Bev Saunders.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey.
Hello, Angela.
Yay, we've got you on air. Fabulous. We've locked you in. You can't leave now. You know that, don't you? That's it.
No escape.
No matter what we say, there's no escape. You could probably barrow underneath somehow a tunnel, but to next door, to maybe Kate at the bistro, because we had some marvellous sandwiches from her today, didn't we, Jan?
We did, and we posted a photo. I couldn't tell the difference from the photo, which was gluten-free and which was poisonous.
I love how she said to Kate, you can have the poisonous bread, give that to her. I was like, poisonous? What do you mean poisonous?
It's got gluten and wheat and all sorts of things in it.
It's
horrible,
got those
horrible
swear words in, hasn't it, Jan?
Absolutely.
Okay, so before we get into the real heavy duty stuff with our great guests, Jennifer and Bev, Jan, we've had a great, exciting week of stuff, haven't we? And one of them was the Dyspraxia launch.
It was the launch of the new charity, Dyspraxia Action.
Say that again.
Dyspraxia Action. Talk more slowly and enunciate.
Okay.
So, the launch of Dyspraxia Action, which was in Faversham on Friday evening. Francis Beaumont, our guest from July last year, was the host and the driving force behind the charity. It's a brilliant evening. We had talks from occupational therapists, from Disabled Student Allowance and university supporters.
Fabulous.
From individuals with dyspraxia, writing books, setting up support groups, all sorts of things. There was a raffle.
Oh,
I won a prize.
You
so
did.
I was happy. Got a lovely stripy cow. So,
stripy cow?
It in. Very
you got
arty.
A stripy cow?
Stripy cow. China cow.
Oh, okay.
With stripes.
I was thinking you had your own cow, now you get your own milk. You can't have that.
Fix.
Fix. No. Long story. Another day.
Is that another show, Jan?
That's another show. But it was brilliant. And off the back of the evening, they have lots and lots of events coming up over the coming months, from make your own lampshade.
Oh, okay.
You actually get to paint a lampshade, another arty topic.
Yes.
And take your lampshade home with you, a fully working lampshade. They're having screen printing, tutoring, and you get to take your products home with you afterwards, from bags to T-shirts, whatever it wants you to do. Now, I can't pronounce this properly.
Oh, go on.
Zimbe, D-J-E-M-B-E.
Pass. Ask me another.
Group.
Ask me one on sport.
One on sport. Gliding.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
But that's for the youngsters, so you can't go there. It's children and young people.
I'm young.
Well, I think
that's
we count.
Hard.
No. Barbecue,
food,
ladies' night, charity auctions, all sorts of things. So I'll be posting up how to find information about that.
Brilliant.
You can go along as a supporter, or you can go along because you have the condition. It doesn't matter. It's all a chance to join in and support the charity.
Fab, fab, fab. And I've just seen a tweet from Amanda.
Yes, I posted her photo.
We saw at the Faversham tweet up this morning, which we've all been at, haven't we? Marvellous tweet up this morning.
Fantastic
and
morning.
Some fabulous contacts and connections. And we had the best dressed person today, which was the lovely Ian, who is a personal trainer and a kung fu fighting martial arts specialist. He didn't pay me to sing that, honest. And I was talking to Amanda, I haven't seen her for a long time, and she has won an award.
It's a national award.
National award, or is it on international?
Well, we're claiming it's international because we know people who don't live in the country and we're telling them about it. But it's actually a national award.
So she has won this fantastic award and she's on Business Bunker tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So if you want to listen in and hear Amanda, tune in on Channel Radio tomorrow at 1 o'clock through till 2:30 because she's going to be on the radio station talking about her award.
And she's just tweeted in. So it's the National Bookkeeper Award.
National Bookkeeper.
14. And she's saying that herself and Natalie.
Hello, Natalie.
Very able assistant Natalie. Are both working hard on the client's bookkeeping and listening in as promised. So thank you for listening and congratulations, Amanda.
I'm glad to hear that she's working hard. I like to hear that. People working hard. Well, we're having fun in the studio. Let's get on to some more serious stuff, shall we? So let me come to our super guests. And we've met before at all the tweet-ups we've been talking about, and I mentioned you last week. So we have, as I said earlier, Jennifer Headley. You are known as a mixed media artist.
Yes, that's right. I specialise using collage and paint in a really unique way. I make bespoke commissions for clients with sort of specific needs, which are really right for their home and their office.
Wonderful.
I have a really sort of spiritual kind of multicultural focus with my work.
Yes, I've seen some of your lovely prints on your Facebook page and your website.
Oh,
and
you.
They are full of colour, which most listeners will know. I'm a very colourful lady. And also sitting alongside you being very well behaved, Bev. I'm very impressed. She's being very well behaved. Maybe it's because you're sitting next to Jan.
Sharp elbows.
So Bev Saunders, you are Edge Bespoke Picture Framing.
I
so actually, we go hand in hand, and I know that you two have worked together, haven't you?
We have commissions
from Jennifer. You've then put together brilliant frames that really bring out even more of that wonderful artist's talent that you have, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. So Bev, you do that, but you're a local lass.
I am indeed. Yes.
To the marsh. Yes. Oar. Bev, whereabouts are you based, Bev?
I'm in Hythe.
Yeah.
And not originally a local girl, although we do have family in the area.
Do you? So where's your origins?
I was born in Louth in Lincolnshire.
Oh, up north.
Yeah.
She's up north.
That's why I recognised the accent earlier. And then through various kind of moves with education, etc. And then got married.
As you do sometimes.
Moved to Bristol.
As you would.
And we were in Bristol for 11 years before moving back this way.
Coming down to south. You're a softy southerner, as my husband would say. Okay, I'd like to turn my attention first of all, if I may, because I want to talk to you both, and there's so much that I want to find out, and I haven't got enough time. So, Jennifer, can I talk to you first,
yeah,
if I may?
Sure.
Jennifer, mixed media artist. So before we go into depth on that and more explanation of what you actually do with this uniqueness and working with individual clients, is that something that you have followed a journey through from school, from education? Was that your destiny to be an artist, or were you doing something different before that?
I've always loved doing art since I was a child. Then I studied it at university, at the University of Creative Arts in Canterbury.
Oh, yes.
And then I studied in India for of months, and that sort of changed kind of, well, a lot of things for me. And then I was actually a teacher for 8 years.
We won't hold that against you.
I know.
She's not going to give me an exam, is she, Jan? Oh,
no. And then I've taken the bold and radical step to become a professional artist.
Wow.
I've got a studio in the Creek Creative in Faversham. And I create my work there. And I've been doing it since January. And so far it's going really, really well.
So still early days in some senses.
Yes,
so,
yes.
You know, the seed of your business is still growing.
It is.
And yet, were you not put forward for a particular award, one of your paintings? I think there was some, I'm bowing now because you're famous. You're famous.
Yeah, 2012, I had a pretty amazing year. I submitted to the Royal Academy and I made, for the
That's the Royal Academy of
The Royal Academy of Arts.
Of Arts, yes. Just in case it was the Royal Academy of something else.
It was the summer exhibition, and my work got selected out of 11,000 people to the final sort of cut for the show. So it went through the judges, and the judges were actually famous artists. So there was a famous artist called Barbara Ray. And my painting actually got through that first panel of judges and actually made it into the Royal Academy itself. It went on the wall. And this is the bit which is quite a shame, shall we say. The reflection of the glass went into the room, so it reflected the whole of the Royal Academy into the painting. So it actually got taken down at the very last minute, so it didn't go into the final show.
Oh, what a shame.
But it's quite an incredible thing that even went through the first stage that I got through 11,000 people.
I was going to say, just to be picked out from 11,000 is amazing.
Yeah, and then a couple
Can I have your autograph now, please? I can sell it on eBay, Jan.
Yeah, and then a couple of couple of months later, the Whitechapel, which is another huge art institution.
Yes, I know of it.
loved my painting of the Indian boy and put it as their cover picture for their website. So I actually did get recognised by a London Institute, well, two that year. So it was quite incredible.
My goodness. So 2012, we had the Olympics, but it was the launch of my artwork.
Yeah. It really was. And I was an art teacher at that time and I was doing painting in my holidays. And for that to happen, I was...
There was a big message there, wasn't it, to say,
it was
did the big hands come out of the sky?
You
need to be doing this full time.
That only happens in your dreams, Angela.
Oh, I'm sure they're not dreams, they're nightmares, really. And you started in January. It is, as you said earlier, I picked up, it is a big step to go from this hobby, this interest, this passion, to actually making it a business.
Yes.
Have you noticed the shift, the difference, or are you still finding there is that passion and that enjoyment?
There is still that passion and enjoyment.
Good stuff.
But it is different, like making work and you know that you're actually making it for clients.
Yes.
It is a different feeling, but it's also wonderful as well because, you know that your painting's actually going to be in a family home or at the moment I'm doing a lot of paintings for therapists, ranging from Reiki healers to counsellors to acupuncturists. And I think my work really lends itself to kind of well-being and therapy as well.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing to think that their clients are going to come into their therapy rooms or their family's going to see my work and it's going to kind of uplift them.
And it really can help the session. And we're going to come back to that in the sense of, you know, art. And as I say, I've been tweeting about it, but the art of well-being and there's a play on words there with art, colour, and also Bev being very well behaved there. I'm so impressed. If I can come to you, please, so that you are being rewarded for your silence and your good behaviour. You are now allowed to speak to me.
Thank you.
So Bev Saunders from Bespoke Edge. I'll get it right one day. Let me get this right. Edge Bespoke Picture Framing.
Yeah.
Get it round the right way. And you've worked together. How did you meet each other? Was it purely through some contact through internet search or because obviously you framed some of Jennifer's work?
Yeah, I have. I got a phone call.
Yeah.
And apparently when Jen came over to see me, she'd picked up one of my lovely, brightly coloured postcards
from the Creek Creative. Yeah.
Yes.
Ah.
So it works.
Yeah. So Creek Creative, thank you out there. Marvellous things that they do out there. Again, this networking, this connection.
Yeah.
And your cards are fantastic. They are because, again, I'm very drawn to colour and they are really, really brilliantly the vibes, the different colours and the edges. What got you into that? So is this something, again, from sort of early childhood days that you were playing with bits of square wood or how did it occur?
My earliest memories are being in my local art shop or somewhere like W.H. Smith's where you've got those massive packs of felt pens that ranged in colour from black to bright green.
I've got every colour
in between.
Brilliant.
And I was always mesmerised by just colour.
That vibe, that whole rainbow.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And it didn't matter what it was, whether it was felt pens, paints, pencils. It's just seeing all of this colour. And I, like Jen, I've always been drawn to colour and I know the impact that colour can have on people and people's lives.
Because that's something I picked up on when you're looking at your website for more information to really delve into the life in the day of Bev and the life in the day of Jennifer. And something you mentioned there on the website about how the colour works with the, you know, the changes of emotions.
Yeah.
Can you tell the listener a bit more about that for us?
Well, colour psychology will actually tell you an awful lot about the effects that different colours will have on people. In actual fact, different colours have different effects on people. And a lot depends on your cultural background as well as your education. Mm-hmm. And also things that may have happened to you in your life because you may associate a particular colour with a bad memory.
Yes.
And for you, that colour might actually conjure up perhaps negative emotions, whereas for somebody else, it might conjure up or will conjure up positive emotions.
Yes.
But in the main, there are certain emotions and feelings that certain colours universally, the effect that they have on people.
And a good effect.
And some are bad effects as well.
Okay.
But it's always good to be aware of the impact across the range, so that it helps inform your decisions when you're selecting colours and choosing art.
Fascinating. And so you've worked together and continue that connection and that relationship. And of course, we then said about being on the radio show and talking about what you do, because also you work in organisations as well. So you're looking at framing the art or the imagery or the, I notice also if it's a particular object that you frame. Objects,
oh, right. Yeah.
Or images, as well as artists' paintings, etc.
Yeah.
But in the workplace, the organisations, you're talking about the asset of a piece of art framed well,
yeah.
And how that can have a huge impact on people walking into reception.
That's right.
The actual, yeah. It can tell a lot, can't it?
It can tell a lot about the organisation, and it can have a massive impact on how your organisation is viewed by clients and competitors.
Mm.
If you have a nice piece of artwork somewhere fairly prominently displayed, it can actually put forward the fact that you are pretty slick at what you're doing,
yeah.
And you're sort of moving forward.
Great. So we're going to analyse Channel Radio's logo out there later with all the colours in the layout of the green room. And we always have music on our show. We like to have a bit of relaxation sometimes. And we always ask our guests if there's particular songs. And I'm coming to you, Jennifer, first of all. A particular song we spoke about and that you'd like us to look for, and we found it, called Wasting My Young Years. Tell us a bit about this song. It's quite a heavy link with you.
It's quite a personal song, because when I first started in my studio, was back in January now. I was listening to that song a lot because they're quite a trendy, cutting-edge band. But I like what it says, wasting your younger years. Don't waste them. Follow your dreams. Always do something you want to do.
And that's what we're all about, yeah. On this show, is that inspirational stories, hearing people, guests like yourselves, where you're out there, you're doing it, you've taken that huge leap of perhaps fear sometimes, and you're out there doing it and still reliving that passion and actually sharing that with other people, and it just beams from your faces, both of you. So this is by London Grammar. The band is,
yes,
London Grammar. So
awesome.
Enjoy, everyone, and while you make yourselves maybe a cup of tea, love. Hey, Bev.
Hi.
You cross this line. Do you find it hard to sit with me tonight? I've walked these miles, but I've walked in straight line. You'll never know what it's like to be fine. Doesn't matter. I'm chasing wrong ideas. It doesn't matter. We are. me hanging on. Don't know what you are. Don't leave me hanging on.
Channel Radio.
Oh, I've just had to pick myself up off the floor. That was beautiful. I'm just going to turn the aircon off because we are dying a little bit of heat in here.
It's lovely and warm. Not.
I might have to get my shorts and bikini out at this rate. And that would scare the neighbours, wouldn't it? So you're listening to Who Cares Wins on channelradio.co.uk this fine Monday afternoon with myself, Angela Bryer-Stevenson, and of course, Jan Mulligan.
Good afternoon, everybody. And melting in the corner.
In the distance, we have Sue Parker. Those of you that remember when we launched our show, there were three presenters, Sue Parker, myself, and obviously Jan. And Sue Parker, because of the show, you see, this is what can happen, ladies. She is so busy with what she's doing, and we're going to talk about one of her events later on before we finish the show this afternoon. But Sue is actually able to listen in today. So hello, Sue Parker. And Sue, you know, I think, Jennifer Headley.
Hello, Sue.
Hey. And Jennifer, I'm going to come back to you because I think the Indian connection is where you know Sue Parker from.
Yeah, that's the lady I went to India with. So
that
I'm feeling
is just
kind of
amazing.
A bit like, yeah, what an amazing coincidence.
Listening here, you are listening to Jennifer Headley, who is our mixed media artist. And also we have next to her, being very well behaved, is our up north lady, up north. But not anymore because she's now down south, is our lovely Bev Saunders of Edge Bespoke. Picture framing.
I'm not very often called good and quiet.
No, I think we need to break this reputation that she's given you and get the real.
Yeah, you're a serious professional, unlike me. Okay, so can I come to you, Jennifer?
Yes, you can.
I'm intrigued to know a little bit more about India. And now that we have another link with Sue Parker, what made you, was it, you said about being a student, so you went to India as a student.
Yeah,
on a particular course?
I was selected. Again, we had to put a proposal in why we wanted to go to India, and my proposal got selected, and I went with Sue Parker to Bangalore, to Chitrakala Parishad, which is a Indian art school.
Wow.
And I went out there for a couple of months and had the most incredible time. The Indian students were absolutely amazing. They made you feel so welcome. And I produced artwork out there, and I also travelled around South India as well. And it's had like a life-changing experience to me. It's kind of stayed with me as a person, but also has had a huge influence on my artwork. And I think what has struck me is the kind of how spiritual the country is, and that kind of really stays with you forever, I feel. And it's just had a huge influence on me.
As you said about the Indian boy that was used by the Whitechapel, the artist, the studio up in London.
Yeah.
And that's been quite an icon, isn't it, of
that's my
your
sort
work.
Of icon painting, really. Iconic painting. He was actually a street child, so a really, really impoverished child, and had the most beautiful face. And I did a couple of paintings when I came back to the UK, and I called it Nadu the Indian Prince, because I was trying to turn him into like a prince-like vision. And I really wanted to draw people's attention to the fact that we've got children as beautiful as that, and they're like living in these really, really difficult conditions.
Yeah.
And, we kind of turn our back and don't think about them consciously. And I suppose that's what's really strong about my painting, is that I wanted people to really see the Indian boy and see that when they go to a gallery.
Yes. And you said that we've chatted before off air at some of the tweet ups as well, but your work is very, you're tuning into the emotions, you're tuning into that positivity, you're tuning into the spiritual. So you get commissions from people who ask you to do a certain painting.
Yeah.
But you really, it's not just maybe copying a photo or copying a particular image. You're really bringing in sort of the whole person and their personality as well to that painting.
Yeah, that's what I really try and do. I really try and get to know my clients a little bit as well. But I'm currently working on a piece for a Reiki healer, and she didn't tell me anything about her colour schemes that she was interested in, and I just intuitively felt that she liked the colour red. And I really have painted most of the painting using the colour red. And I've contacted her afterwards and I just said I just had a feeling that this was your colour. And she said, that's my favourite colour.
And amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I create. I don't know where my ideas come from sometimes. I see something or I feel something and I have to go into my studio and I have to kind of recreate it.
Marvellous. And then we come over to Bev, who is the bespoke picture framer. And Bev, tell us more about the why of, can't I just go and buy a frame from a local reputable store down my road? Just that'll do, a bit of wood or a bit of glass or a bit of steel. That'll do. Chuck it on the wall. Job done.
You can.
But don't. Yeah. There's more to it and there's a reason why.
Yeah, there is. Off the peg frames are available and they're available for a particular market. The sort of work that I do, I have to try to bring out all of the personality that people like Jen is trying to portray in her work.
Yes.
So I need to be able to kind of become attached to that piece of work and in a sense attached to the artist. And understand a little bit of where she was coming from and the message that she was trying to put forward. And then I then need to present that in the best possible way. And the way to do that is to an extent, actually study the work. Try to get into...
Really? Get into their heads.
Yeah.
It's hard to get into mine, Ben. Don't try. Don't go there. It's not a good place all the time.
And to do the work absolute justice... In the main, especially with original piece of work, which is never to a standard size.
No.
So there's your first problem.
Yes.
Second problem, should I say, because you can, as you said, go into a shop and buy a frame, but it's just not going to enhance elements of the work that you are trying to present. Because I am presenting.
You are.
The work.
Yes.
And
it's sort of this, ta-da!
Absolutely.
Do you have drum roll?
Occasionally.
When you arrive at the client's house. But she brings the band with her.
My work has been described by clients as an artwork enhancer. Mm. And that's what I do. I enhance.
That's fabulous. Mm. That, have you got that as a strap line?
I'm sure I will.
Yeah. So you frame the picture and you're displaying the picture.
Do you visit the venue that it's going to be hung in to get a feel for that as well?
If the client is the purchaser of the art, yes, and particularly if it's a large piece of art, then yes, I will. A lot of people do talk about taking into account and considering the location that the work is going to be displayed in.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it is the piece of work that you are enhancing and displaying.
Right. Okay. So it's not about necessarily where it's going to be.
Not so much.
Okay.
So if somebody, just as a complete exaggeration, if somebody was to bring a pink painting to me and they're going to display it in an orange room, there's a little bit of a conversation that I need to have with
what would you be suggesting, Bev? Repainting the room?
Change the routine.
And none of you are going to offer that, are you, as a painting service as well? There's nothing
on
the sideline. We normally do, don't we? Or a woman, by the way, a woman and a man. So if I can come back a little bit, Bev, to talk about in organisations as well, because some of our listeners are individuals and looking at, want to really explore this art in the workplace at home as well, such as people like the famous Amanda of Amanda at Accounts on Twitter, who's won that wonderful National Bookkeeping Award. Did I mention that? And also we're looking at corporates, big organisations, receptions and big offices with lots of many floors that I used to work in. So there's differences there with this impression we talked about with clients coming into the reception and giving you an impression of this office, this environment,
organisation
and the way they do things. Yeah. Presumably though, also within the workplace for the employees.
Has a massive effect.
Yeah.
Massive impact. Mm. Yeah. Artwork, oh gosh, where do you begin? I've got a list of as long as your arm of the impact that artwork has on people. One big one for the employers, is job satisfaction.
Yes.
You know, employees' satisfaction of their workplace and the job that they're doing. Motivation.
Yep.
Creativity. It can affect the mood of the office and the mood of your staff.
Yes.
And it's, all of this has a knock-on effect. If you've got happy staff, they are going to produce for you, and it's going to have a huge impact on your business.
On that productivity at
That's
the end
right.
of the day. Productivity, profits, pound signs, and CEOs are going to be, ooh, that's
But the
good.
Other thing it does is as well is that it gets people talking. It gets
yes.
staff talking, departments talking. And whilst a piece of work which is perhaps in an office, wherever it might be, might not necessarily to be your liking, it will generate a conversation.
Yes.
And that can only be for the good.
That's definite. And it takes away that conversations by the water coolers.
Yep.
We can have a conversation by the actual paintings, the framing, because there's so much more to it then, surely.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Why are they not getting on the bandwagon? Why are they not realising this? We need to shout about this more, surely.
Well, research has been done over the last 50 years, believe it or not.
Yeah?
And
I picked up some from your website,
yeah,
I noticed.
There's a lot of organisations and academics who have researched this for a long time, and I think people are beginning to get it. And what can I say? It's something that I am trying to not educate exactly, but kind of make organisations aware of.
I know, because I picked up from your website, actually, which just for people to be aware that your website is
www.edge-framing.co.uk.
Marvellous. She remembered it. Well done. Gold Star Award. It saves me having to do it.
She said there wasn't going to be an exam.
Well, I want to be the teacher. And I picked up from your website that you had a link with research, worksinprint.com, and they did some research into this very nature of art in the workspace, workplace.
Yeah.
And interestingly, I picked up just literally numbers coming off the sheet. If art is largely ignored, 95% of people cannot see art from their workstation.
That's right.
So just sitting, you come into work, you again generally sit down at a computer, and from their workstation where they're sitting, they can't see a piece of art or a piece some image or a plant as well, which Jan, you'd be on their hobby horse,
or even an external window. So if you imagine you're in a basement with nothing on the walls and just your work, it's demoralizing. You need the color, you need the stimulation. And also just for your eye comfort and health, you need other things to look at. Mm-hmm. So by having a picture on the wall, that draws your focal point to that, so it
yes.
exercises eye muscles.
Yep.
But then the detail of the picture, the colours used, the framing, all of that gives you other things to look at mm-hmm. and stimulates your brain, gives your brain a slight rest
yes.
and reboot, which then makes you more productive.
Yeah, turn it on and off again.
Absolutely. Look at a picture.
But it is, because just quickly looking through some of this research, the heading, art in the workplace is more than purely decorative. So many people think art is just decoration. It's a luxury. It's just something to, oh, isn't that nice? Or framing. I'll have a picture framed, or something special, maybe from the family history or the family archives. Let's have it framed. But it's not just this decorative. They're saying that with the research, it's starting to show that it does have this positive impact on organisations and people.
It does.
So just as you're saying there, Jan, this giving sort of the actual, not just the psychology part, actually giving your brain a rest, looking at different things, looking at your eyes.
Giving your eyes a physical rest.
Exactly. And actually giving them a workout.
Yeah.
And to be fair, we did allow Bev to choose a song too. And it's quite appropriate, isn't it, Bev?
It is.
We have chosen the Marvellous Blondie. Picture this. So we're going to have a little music, add a little bop, have a little sing-along, and we will be back in a few minutes. Enjoy.
I was seeing a vision of you. All I want
Who Cares Wins with me, Angela Bryce Stevenson, turning off the air conditioning with my marvellous co-presenter, Jan Mulligan.
We're not turning it off together, folks. No, it's a single person activity.
I'm not that sure that she has to give me a bit of a leg up to turn it off. The switch isn't that high up the wall. Although talking about that with framings and pictures and placing of particular pictures where you need to place them must be important. Because at home, my darling husband, who is 6'2", he decided when we redid the bathroom that he would put the mirrored cupboard in line with where he could see it for shaving purposes. Me, all I can see are my eyebrows. So it's not very helpful, is it? You're listening to Who Cares Wins. We have our marvellous guests here. Jennifer Headley, our mixed media artist, who also knows the lovely Sue Parker, who says hello back to you, my friend. So it is the one and only Sue Parker. And also we have the wonderful Bev Saunders, who is talking to us about her brilliant business, which is Edge Bespoke Picture Framing. Now, one thing I was picking up on is you two have worked together. Jennifer, what made you choose Bev?
Well,
there's hundreds of people. You could have gone down the shop to get a frame.
Yeah, yeah.
She's obsessed. She's
obsessed with shops.
Oh, never.
Probably a month before I actually met Bev, I actually went up to London and I went to the Royal Academy Framers because they have a framers department there.
Oh, right.
And I thought I'd put a bit more money into my framing because that's kind of where I'm aiming for, really. Mm. It's like the London galleries. And I was looking for that kind of professionalism, and I was looking specifically for a box frame, and they actually have box frames in all the London galleries. So I saw the box frames were on Bev Saunders' postcard, and that kind of instantly made me want to contact her. I took my work to Bev. She really listened to my needs, and she really kind of thought about what I was actually trying to recreate. I had the frame that I had from the Royal Academy and I said, look, this is what I wanted to recreate. It used non-reflective glass because I've learned that from 2012 that you need non-reflective glass. And that doesn't reflect the Royal Academy into the painting. I actually talked it through with her and the result was exactly the same as what I would have got in London. So I'd strongly recommend Bev's framing, and that kind of is what makes her business different to, say, other framers locally.
And that's why, for me, hearing the word bespoke, it really just says it all, Bev, that that's exactly what it's about. It's a very personal, to me, that's what I'm hearing. It's a very personal one-on-one service. It's really getting to know you. It's not just about, here's a picture, Bev, can you frame it?
Yeah.
It's much more to do with well, Angela, where do you want, presumably, where you're going to put it? Is it an orange wall or a pink wall? So there's more suggestions and help from you than just framing, although that is an art in itself.
I work with my clients, and a big thing for me, and it's not exactly a strap line, but it is on my website.
The word's gone.
It has.
It's an important one, though. I need you to get it back. But you are, I mean, for me, it's about working with the person to get to know them. It's a bit like we talk about the tweet-ups. You know, it's getting to know people first rather than just, oh, here's my card, I'm a framer. All right, I'll put you in that box.
And it's about my client actually enjoying the process.
Mm. Yes.
I that's a huge thing for me, and that's what I was trying to spit out. Terribly
great.
Sorry.
I know it was in
but,
there.
Yeah, my client has to enjoy the process, which is why I work with them, and that's why I made the comment earlier about getting under their skin, trying to understand what it is that they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Quite often, there's something the client would like to do, and for whatever reason, it isn't possible. So you kind of guide them and offer suggestions to them
as
alternatives.
You're a framing coach. And I wasn't swearing, listener. It's for aiming, coach, because you are. You're actually, in a way, coaching and working with them in what they are wanting to achieve. And you're listening to them and hearing them and then reflecting back on, is this what you're talking about? Is this what you mean? Like you said, Jennifer, yes, that's exactly what I mean.
But
so you get them.
They're understanding why I'm making the suggestions as well. So I talk it through with them and explain why I'm making those suggestions.
Mm.
And in a lot of cases, I can come up with a number of alternative suggestions, and then we kind of talk through those. And sometimes the price might be the defining issue, because obviously there's
of
lots
course.
Of suggestions that you can make.
Yeah. And you can have this.
Exactly.
And it's how many thousands of pounds.
Exactly. And a lot of that depends on the quality of the materials that we decide we need to use for the project. And just how much of the job is actually a hand process. In Jennifer's case, it was a hand finished frame.
Wow.
As well as actually constructing.
So how long does that take, for example, just to give me an idea, because this is something that I just give it to my particular lady, who I didn't know about you before, so I do apologise, Bev.
Yeah.
I come to you all the time now. But it's sort of, I just give it, and Rick does his bit. My husband talks to her about colours and things, because he's quite artistic. And it comes back, and I'm like, wow, but I would never have thought of that. You know, you're looking at a painting from Jennifer, for example. How long did it take in that process?
If I started and didn't stop until it was finished, I would imagine Jen's job probably about 7 hours.
Wow.
So there's a lot of waiting time.
The painting took 5 weeks.
Yes, it's all relative.
Yeah.
But it is important, the actual materials as well of what you're using.
Yeah, and that you are dictated to a degree by what it is that you're being asked to frame.
Mm.
I mean, if you're being asked to frame an old document and it has some significant value, then you are going to treat it quite differently, and you wouldn't go down to the shop and buy one off the peg.
No. Do you have those gloves, Bev? when you have to touch, you know, special documents.
Well, I do have to be careful.
Do you?
I do, yes.
Wow.
And
do you feel the pressure? I would be like, oh my goodness.
It does depend on the condition of the work that comes in. I mean,
sure.
Yeah. I mean, I had a watercolour come in, which I needed to be removed from its existing mount and frame.
Wow.
Came out of the frame fine, but it didn't want to come out of the mount.
Ooh.
So you do have to be very careful. But I'm in contact with all of the experts, all the conservators.
Yeah.
Textile paper conservators.
Right.
Whoever I need.
She's talking jargon now, Jen. I'm like, eyes are glazing. Conservators or conservatories? What's she on about?
It's a big room at the back of the house. You don't have one.
No, I don't. I haven't got a house. I live in a little tent. If I can come back to organisationally wise, both yourself, Jennifer, and Bev, getting organisations, whether it's the big corporates or even we talked about Amanda and her wonderful National Bookkeeping Award. Well done, Amanda, who's on Business Bunker tomorrow at 1 o'clock on channelradio.co.uk. If I want to look at a small business, someone working from home, maybe they've made one of their small bedrooms into an office. Again, well, they might be listening and thinking, well, it doesn't really relate to me, it's not relevant, surely. It is, isn't it?
It does, because you need inspiration to keep you going.
Yeah.
And to have a beautifully framed piece of work. Perhaps it's a photograph of your somewhere that you've been longing to go to, and it's your,
hey,
your lifetime ambition.
Amanda, if you're still listening, do you need your award framed? Well, it's prized possession.
Absolutely.
You're right,
and,
actually.
And also, treat it as a reward. If you do win a competition and you have a beautiful certificate, why shove it in something...
Yeah.
But it's just not worth it.
Or a drawer.
It kind of gives it presence.
Mine are in the drawer. Yeah. I feel guilty now.
We're going to talk to you now later, Jan.
Particularly when you're self-employed or you're a small business, you need to shout about your achievements. Mm. And that is a fantastic way of actually shouting, because you're giving that qualification or that award, you're giving it some gravitas.
Mm. Absolutely. And Jennifer, to you, in relation to the work or the art, piece of art, you may actually have a commission from a small business or an owner for something in their studio, their own workplace. Again, it's about, have you done work in relation to the type of work they're doing, like you were saying with the Reiki? Or is it something that would enhance them to be motivated and inspired?
Well, I've done personal commissions for families.
Oh,
but
right.
I have also done work for therapists recently.
Yeah.
And they're actually going to be using my painting as the sort of focal point after they've had the treatment. So they'll kind of come awake if they've had Reiki, for example. And that will be the kind of first thing that they actually see when they kind of have had their kind of acupuncture or therapy.
Or the treatment,
So I truly believe that art has that ability to take you to a different world. Mm. And it has that ability to uplift you and make you feel really positive as well. I mean, there was an amazing exhibition on right now at the moment by Matisse. It's the cutout exhibition at the Tate Modern. Amazing.
Oh, right.
It does, you know, if you're in a really gloomy mood, you just go there for half an hour. It's the most beautiful work that you ever see. And everybody comes up the exhibition uplifted. And what he simply does is uses colourful paper, and he cuts it out and makes really, really interesting patterns.
Wow.
And it's on a giant scale. And I can't recommend an exhibition apart from myself.
Of course. We know Jennifer Headley first.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm aiming for that.
Yes. That's your next step.
That's it, yeah.
And remember, Bev, your friend.
Yeah, and Bev as well. I'll be using your amazing framing to know that help. But, yeah, I do have a few exhibitions as well coming up.
Great.
As well.
And on that note, because we are fast running out of time.
Just very quickly, on the note of the uplifting side of things, Sue's posted, she's saying art is healing.
Mm.
And that's your uplifting.
It's therapeutic.
Link.
It is. And even coming to the framing, as you said, that frame can just present that healing in the best possible way.
And the icing on the cake.
But it's also for the
cherry on the top.
Yeah. Indeed.
It's also for the viewer and also the person that makes it as well. It, you know, when I make a piece of work, I can forget about my day-to-day worries and just focus. And then it's great for the viewer, because the viewer gets uplifted by the process. So
absolutely.
Yeah,
so if I can come to make sure that our listeners are now being inspired, I can feel the energies and also realizing the benefit and the well-being of art and the art of well-being. That actually, how would they get hold of you, Jennifer? What's the best way with your website? If we get a little shout out for that,
please, one. Please, please click onto my website. It's www.jenniferheadley.co.uk.
And Jennifer Headley is JENNIFER Headley, HEDLEY.
Perfect. I've also got a Facebook page, so please press like on my Facebook page.
We like you.
Yeah. Jennifer Headley Artist. And I'm also recently on Twitter, Jennifer Headley at Indian Lights.
At Indian Lights is her Twitter handle. And
I've
Bev, you're on Twitter as well.
I am, but I prefer Facebook.
So Facebook you would find by Edge Framing?
Edge-framing.
And also your Twitter handle is slightly different because we couldn't get the right characters or something, you were telling me.
Yeah,
so
I don't know what happened there.
It didn't work. But if you want to find her, your Twitter handle is... At picture framer 10, as in 10.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, you have a challenge. I've just seen something on Twitter from Amanda. Amanda accounts, who's won that National Bookkeeper Award of the Year 2014. The actual, I saw it, it's actually, she says, a glass trophy.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that you'd be able to frame that, wouldn't you?
Well, I'd like to have a look at it.
You'd like to have a look.
Let's have a look at it.
So, yeah, there you are.
That sounds like it's going to be a substantial box wine.
A substantial, huge.
Yeah.
And also, we need a hefty way of making sure that that's displayed and doesn't fall off the wall.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Events, are you doing any particular events or shows or exhibitions anywhere that we need to make sure people know about?
I think they actually might be listening right now. So I'll just say hello to Happenstance Gallery because they represent me in London.
Oh.
I'm doing a exhibition with them called the Salon de Refusé. It's on the 19th to the 24th of June.
Right.
It's in the Dog-Eared Film Studio, 25 to 28. And it's in King's Cross, really near St Pancras International Station.
So
and
the high-speed train.
It's for all the RA Summer Exhibition rejects. And it's a fascinating exhibition because you really get to see the standard of the work that the actual Royal Academy has rejected. And the work is normally really, really high standard. So
brilliant.
Hello, Anna and Essien.
Hello, hello. Welcome. And you come and down talk to us on Who Cares Wins if they want to.
Yeah.
And Bev, are you, I mean, you're obviously at TweetUps. I know you've been delving into Canterbury and Faversham.
I'm the networking tart at the moment.
Good on you, girl.
There's the reputation blown.
I just get out there and talk to anybody.
Great.
I'm not involved with specific exhibitions.
No,
but I do have an association with the South East Open Studios.
Oh, yes, and that we mentioned last week on the show.
And
yes.
I'm also associated with Folkestone Art Society.
Brilliant.
They've just finished their spring exhibition down in Tontine Street, but they will be having another exhibition coming up.
So you'll
summer.
Be heavily involved with that. Well, do shout out to us and we'll make sure people know about that.
We'll do. And I have just written an advertorial for a new lifestyle magazine, which is coming out specifically for Hive.
Ooh.
It's called Hive Live.
Hive Life. As
Hive
in F-E.
Life.
Yeah.
Yep. There is a website attached to the magazine as well, but the magazine is brand new and the first edition comes out any time now.
Oh, brilliant.
And my article is actually about framing for a hero.
Oh.
So it's particularly poignant at the moment.
Absolutely.
And this year particularly.
Yes, this year. Oh, wonderful.
I've done a number of presentations of service memorabilia, medals, etc.
Yes.
And boy, the impact that has when people collect that work is just amazing.
You can't really describe it, can you?
No,
really?
You can't.
No.
And it's one of the things that makes my job so pleasurable.
So rewarding. Oh, I've got goosebumps. That's absolutely marvellous. What a great note to finish on. Before we just whiz off and disappear into other worlds and back to our other businesses, remind us, Jan, we have some events. I've got a couple here. So, Jan, what have you got over there?
I'm just going to very quickly run through the National Awareness Weeks, but I'll post the links online.
Whiz through.
This
100
week,
miles an hour.
It's Carers Week. Epilepsy Action Big Barbecue Event Week, Men's Health Week, National Blood Week to encourage blood donors, and National Glaucoma Week.
Wow.
So we'll post all the links for those online.
And we'll test you all later,
and
listeners.
A quick advance one to book early for is the Back Pain Show, 4th to the 6th of July at Olympia. And they've had a few problems getting tickets, so three tickets, but I'll post a link on Facebook after the show.
We'll put that on there. Brilliant. And also, talking of the wonderful Sue Parker, those of you that don't know, Sue Parker and also Wendy Watson, who's been a guest nearly enough on our early days show when we first launched back in 2013, all those many moons ago, they are going to be at the Horsebridge Community Centre, which is in Whitstable in Kent. If people know this, my guests are nodding away. They know of it. On the 14th of June, Saturday, 14th of June, from 11:30 a.m. through to 3 p.m. and they are going to be doing reflexology and animal card tarot reading tasters. So if you want to know all about it and have a little taster, an introduction, Wendy Watson will be giving her reflexology and foot reading tasters, which are amazing. Yes, foot reading. That's what I said, listener. And Sue Parker, the wonderful Sue Parker, will be doing, with her marvellous animal cards, she will be doing readings for those that are interested to know more. The aim of what they're doing, both their sessions, is to help people recognise and discover their blocks, their fears, their weaknesses, their strengths, and making sure that also they're focusing on balancing their lives and actually looking at making life, as you're talking about with our guests, Bev and Jennifer, about things being, looking at the positive and looking at that way forward, although sometimes it can feel scary, but actually going out there and doing it for yourself. So if you want to go along, pop along there on the 14th, Saturday. That's not this coming. Is it this coming Saturday? Where are we? Nine. It is,
yeah,
isn't
it?
Because it's Father's Day on Sunday.
On Sunday.
Which next door, Kate is doing marvellous foods, lunches for Father's Day. Okay. So that quickly. A couple of other shout outs, just again, for those that are interested, the summer solstice that I've mentioned a few times is still, I think, as I spoke to them last week, they may have one more place if anyone is interested in having a summer solstice weekend from Friday the 20th to 22nd of June. It's £349 per person, but it's all inclusive. It includes your accommodation, it includes your food, it includes your mindfulness class sessions, it includes your yoga class sessions, it includes the venue, the walks, the woods, the trees, everything, and the teas, the coffees, the food, the biscuits. So if you want to get in touch and find out if there is a place, it's near Rye, East Sussex, called Hare, H-A-R-E, Farm, if you know of it. So contact Jules, J-U-L-S-W, at blueyonder.co.uk. And also, I've mentioned this before, the Clear Mind Institute, who I train with mindfulness and my teacher training, they have some CPD days. Remember, folks, what CPD stands for? Continual Professional Development. And they have two CPD days I wanted to shout about. One is on the, where are we? June the 21st. It's called Find Your Voice, and it's Find Your Voice Mantra Workshop with a lovely lady called Laura Mitchell, who is an opera singer. So maybe we should get her down, start singing away, because my singing voice is terrible. And also the other one, which I'm really, really wanting to go if I can, and I can't go on June the 21st because I'm away on the solstice, is July the 12th, Branding You and Social Media, which I know they were talking on Zoe's social media this morning. They were talking about blogging. I'm going to listen to that later in more detail. And they're going to talk about branding you and social media for people that are yoga teachers or are into mindfulness and yoga teaching, and looking how they can brand it and market themselves without necessarily looking at this real hard sell and trying to keep it this soft approach and really tapping in. So, oh my goodness, I've just seen an awful picture of me on Facebook. Please don't look now, listener. Look away if you value your health and well-being. Look away from Facebook. My goodness, I look like I've been possessed. So yes, it's matching the heat. It is very warm. Okay, anything else we need to, before I talk about next week's guest, any other events there, Jen?
No, that's me. I'll post them on Facebook.
Thank you for that. Yes, love you lots there, Jen. Okay. Before I disappear,
She's a friend of yours.
Yes, she does love me, really. Next week's guest, we're talking about colour. We're talking about the emphasis of colour, the importance of colour, the psychology of colour. Well done, Bev. You get the Gold Star Award for linking in to next week's guest, who is Jane Wallace from the House of Colour, which is Image and Style Consultancy. So she's going to tell us all about the colours that we need to think about wearing more of, less of, the shape, the design of the actual clothing that we're wearing, both men and women. So we're going to be chatting with her next week and looking at this psychology of colour, perhaps from a different perspective. Rather than on the wall, it's on me. I'm a bit concerned about what I should wear, Jan, next week. Maybe I'll just wear a sackcloth and that'll be fine. Okay, it leaves me just enough time to say thank you both to Jennifer Headley, mixed media artist from indianlights.co.uk. Is that right?
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure. I apologise we've run out of time. And Bev Saunders from Edge Bespoke Picture Framing.
Thank you. Did I get it right? Yes, you did. You did. Brilliant. Thank you ever so much for the invitation.
You're more than welcome. And if we have, again, if there's something else going on, please do come back and tell us, or do tweet or do email us. Any of your listeners out there who want to get information through to us, let us know and we will shout as loud as we can. I am going to play out, and I'm going to fiddle about here, and I'm going to play out with a lovely song. Some of you may remember A Flock of Seagulls, if you're about my age.
You're young enough, before I went grey.
Wishing I had a photograph of you, Jan.
But not one that I took, huh?
And on that note, thank you for listening, everyone. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Happy week all.